ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
So first verse hasn't been written on the board. Kitaf peshas krita ruddha kudyayam tam anusmaran samrambha bhayam yogena vindate tat swarupatam. The second verse here is
Evam
Krishne,
Bhagavati,
Maya
Manuja
Ishvare Vairena,
Puta,
Hapmanas,
Tam,
Apur,
Anuchintaya,
Evam Krishne Bhagavati,
Evam Krishne Bhagavati, Maya Manuja Ishvare,
Vairena Puta Papmanas,
Tam Apur Anuchintaya,
Kita, the grass worm. Peshaskrita by a bee.
Ruddha
confined.
Rudyayam
in a hole in the wall.
Tam
that bee.
Anusmaran
thinking of.
Samrambha
bhaya yogena. Through intense fear and enmity.
Vindate
attains.
Tat
of that bee.
Sarupatam
the same form.
Evam
thus.
Krishne
in Krishna.
Bhagavati
the personality of Godhead.
Maya
Manuje,
who appeared by his own energy
in his eternal human-like form.
Ishvare,
the Supreme.
Vairena,
by enmity.
Putapapmanaha,
those purified of sins.
Tam,
him.
Apahu,
attained.
Anuchintaya,
by thinking of.
Translation.
A grass worm confined in a hole of the wall by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity, and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned souls somehow or another think of Krishna, who is Satchinananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins, whether thinking of him as their worshipable Lord or as an enemy. Because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4:10, the Lord says, Vitaraya bhaya krodha manmaya mam upasrita bhavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavam agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. There are two ways of constantly thinking of Krishna, as a devotee and as an enemy. A devotee, of course, by his knowledge and tapasya, becomes free from fear and anger and becomes a pure devotee. Similarly, an enemy, although thinking of Krishna inimically, thinks of him constantly and becomes purified. This is confirmed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, where the Lord says, Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisa. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he engages in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. A devotee undoubtedly worships the Lord with rapt attention. Similarly, if an enemy, Sudarachara, always thinks of Krishna, he also becomes a purified devotee. The example given here concerns the grass worm that becomes bee-like because of constantly thinking of the bee that forces it to enter a hole. By always thinking of the bee in fear, the grass worm starts to become a bee. This is a practical example. Lord Krishna appears within this material world for two purposes. Parittaranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam. To protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. The sadhus and devotees certainly think of the Lord always, but duskritis, the demons like Kamsa and Shishupal, also think of Krishna in terms of killing him. By thinking of Krishna, both the demons and devotees attain liberation from the clutches of the material world. This verse uses the word maya manujaya. When Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in his original spiritual potency, sambhavam yatma mayaya, he is not forced to accept a form made by material nature. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Ishvara, the controller of maya. He is not controlled by maya. When a demon continuously thinks of Krishna because of enmity towards him, he is certainly freed from the sinful reactions of his life. To think of Krishna in this way, in terms of his name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, or anything pertaining to him, is beneficial for everyone. Srimatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Thinking of Krishna, hearing the holy name of Krishna, or hearing the pastimes of Krishna will make one pure, and then he will become a devotee. A Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to introduce the system of somehow or another letting everyone hear the holy name of Krishna and take Krishna Prasad. Thus one will gradually become a devotee and his life will be successful. So here in the seventh canto, now we're starting to get very close to the principles of pure devotional service, because we have to finish up all these concepts that we may have of the material world by the tenth canto. Within nine cantos, we have to adjust our consciousness so we're able to understand or effectively appreciate the Lord's transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan. Means with up to the sixth canto, then we see we can appreciate up to the Vaikuntha platform, because next will be described Prahlad Maharaj, and he is a pure devotee. But if we want to be able to get to the platform of Braja, then we have to go beyond that and come to this platform that will be then presented by the finish of the ninth canto. So here we see that the material world, how it functions, and that has been described very nicely in the fifth canto. Everyone's consciousness, how they think, how they relate, the culture that they follow. That has been described very nicely there in that canto. Then from this gave rise to questions by Pradikrit Maharaj, that now we have, we've explained all this, and we see that people, through this system of samsara, are performing pious activities going up, impious activities going down, like this. But it appears that they just keep going on and on and on and on. So they don't really look like they're being purified, even though they're doing pious activities or impious activities. So they're not perceptibly actually purified, and they're not actually perceptibly becoming impure. Just the changes due to the modes of nature is forcing their body and gross and subtle bodies to go through these different situations. Then, so the sixth canto, then we see the description of what is pious and what is impious. And we start to realize that actual piety means if it's something in connection with the Lord. Though externally, it still may carry the form of material piety or impiety. But the result that is there is totally different. Like Vritrasura, he's an asura, he's fighting against Indra, who is the demigod, who is the king of heaven, and who is supposed to be in charge of the universe. And after the battle, then Indra is victorious and stays to rot in the material world, and Vritrasura is the loser, and he goes back to Godhead. So we see here that this difference is starting to be pointed out. Up to the fifth canto, then we see very nicely the different activities, the piety, the impiety being described. Everything is going very nicely. And the various duties that someone is performing is being done. They're getting the results according to this. You know, so therefore we see earlier, Diti and Kasyapa and all these different aspects, they're going on beforehand, they've been explained. Now at this time we'll get into Prahlad Maharaj, because to understand that, we have to be able to go beyond. So now we see that the real thing is our consciousness, what we are thinking of. So now here it has been brought up that if we're thinking of the Lord, then that we are benefited. We actually make advancement. We become freed from the material contamination. And if we don't think of the Lord, we are performing all kinds of nice, pious activities. That is good. We'll be elevated very slowly. And there's no guarantee one will actually get to the platform of liberation, because the desires may change. Because we may desire something else within the material world. But here, concentrating on the Lord, like even the demons do, they are not fixed within this material world. Their consciousness is not in the material world. They may be approaching the Lord with envy and fear and all these different elements, but they are not dealing with the material substance. They're dealing with this Lord. So this is a point that the devotee has to cross, because now we're coming to the platform of pure devotional service. So we have to cross and get to this platform of liberation to give up the material nature. But we cannot stop there. That is not of interest to the devotees. Therefore, the demons, they stop at liberation. They get to that platform and they stop there. They merge into the Lord's body. And then they stay there for some time. They get temporarily stopped at this point. Well, the devotee, because of not having any interest or attachment or attraction to the platform of liberation, goes beyond that. It is just a moment that they go through to come to the actual platform of developing one's pure attraction for the Lord. So now the Lord, so here we see that the devotees, this is very important. The last verse mentions about those devotees on the platform of Rag, the Rag Marg. Those are the eternal associates of the Lord. So Rag means attachment. So Raga Marg means the path of attachment to Krishna. Then that path, that is what will get one into the spiritual realm and will develop one's spiritual form. So to the degree that that attachment to Krishna is there, that concentration is there, to that degree perfection is there. And when that attachment to Krishna is complete, it is full, then one comes into the full association of Krishna and his devotees. This is the process. This is what is explained in the Nectar of Devotion. So here we see it practically happening in the discussion and in the examples given here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then, next point is that the Krishna, he is transcendental. He is appearing in the material world by his own potency, by his own maya manuja, by his own will. He is coming in his eternal human-like form. Because otherwise one would say, well, one's thinking of Krishna, he's human-like form, so that is also material. But here it's pointing out that they're thinking of Krishna, and because he is spiritual, he is transcendental, they attain that platform. So Krishna is always equal. In the material world, he is equal. This is the beginning here. And it appears that the Lord is biased. He is supporting the devotees, supporting Indra. He is going against the demons. But actually it's been pointed out that one has to cross this. See, otherwise, we've gone through a point of we are sinful. We are performing material duties simply for our own sense gratification. We are not in any way interested in the Lord. Then that is brought to the next platform. Krishna then points out is that you have to do it because it's your duty to do it. Like that. Not because of what you're going to get out of it. If I'm going to get something good, I do it. I don't get something good, I don't do it. That's what Arjuna was professing. He was professing sinful life. I'm not going to fight as a kshatriya because I'm not going to get what I want. So he was professing sinful life. Krishna then says, no, you have to perform pious life. But that piety must be in connection with Krishna, otherwise it's useless. right, in the garb of piety, he was professing impiety. Then it is being presented that real piety means it has to be connected to Krishna. Then the Bhagavatam then takes this further. It starts to explain that if we want to please Krishna, then we have to do it somehow or another. Some way or another we're remembering. So we're performing our duties because we know they please Krishna. We may be thinking of Krishna when we perform the duties. We may not be thinking of Krishna. But because our desire is to please Krishna by doing this duty, then it is pleasing Krishna. Then, as we become purified, then we are able to think more and more of Krishna. So while we're doing the duty, we're also able to remember Krishna. This then is the advanced stages of devotional service. So that's what's being presented here. Is not devotees now who are simply, they are doing the duty because it's what Krishna says you should do. Right? In the material world, we have our duties, we do them, and we want to please Krishna by that. But now we're coming to stages beyond that, is we want to think of Krishna while we do these duties. And now it's being pointed out that actually, just thinking of Krishna will get you the result, whether the duties are done or not. If you can just remember Krishna at every moment, then that is perfection. The young damsels of Vrindavan, it's not their duty to think of someone else other than their husband. But by doing that, they became perfect. Right? The young cowherd boys, and that all they're doing is absorbed in playful ideas, running around and doing this and that. But because they were always thinking of Krishna, they became perfect. They became liberated by going out and playing in the grass and running around. The gopis became perfect by thinking of someone else other than their husband. Right? Like this. This is the real perfection. So what's happening here is the attachment that we have for the performance of material duties, that also has to be given up. That also we have to lose that attachment for. So it's a very interesting thing, is we're being told to do these duties because we're attached to not doing the duties for ourselves. We're attached to the material energy to enjoy it the way we want to. Then it's a matter of, no, don't do that. You want to enjoy the material energy? Okay, do it the way Krishna wants you to do it. Okay, so that's devotion to Krishna. I take that step. Then it's do it for Krishna because, you know, it pleases Krishna rather than you will get some result from it. Then it comes to the point of just remember Krishna. The duties may function, may not function. That's all right. Right? Madhavendra Puri saying goodbye to my 3 times bath and all these different things. He's so absorbed in thinking of Krishna. Whether he'll take his bath or not, he won't notice. Because to him, he's always thinking. One's taking one's bath 3 times a day because you know it's morning. It's time to get up. But when you've been awake all night just thinking of Krishna and wandering around, you don't know if it's day or night or what's going on. So you may take your bath, you may not. If you notice, yes, you'll take your bath. If you don't notice, you won't take your bath. But there's no imperfection because he is always thinking of Krishna. So now this is being brought in, that this is the real point. So the devotee has to become free. Here the verse is given this. Vidaraga bhaya krodha. So this raga, material attachment, this bhaya, material fear, means we're afraid of our relationship with Krishna. We're afraid of losing all the material things we have, the body or the desires. And the krodha, the anger that comes after we don't get what we want. These must be given up. Then we can become situated. And it says here, many in the past have attained perfection by doing this. So it examples are there. It has worked for them. So why it won't work for us? So Krishna is recommending this. And then this apichet surara charo. So here, someone who is thinking of Krishna, but may not be performing the proper activities, either out of enmity towards Krishna directly, like Shishupal and Dantavakra, who, you know, if they thought it would disturb Krishna, they would do it, you know, like that. They were so absorbed in thinking of Krishna, you know, if it would bother Krishna, definitely they would do it. their absorption was total and complete. Or down to a devotee who indirectly is being, asuric, by not following Krishna's directions, by breaking the principles, by not acting according to the proper culture and etiquette. But in this, he's thinking of Krishna. That is the point. If someone's thinking of Krishna, even that unfortunate external situation is still not that unfavorable, like that. Because it's thinking of Krishna that makes it everything perfect. But this becomes the point of difficulty, where we're crossing from the material into the spiritual. While we're situated on this side of the liberation of Brahma Bhuta, then we perform all the activities very properly. This is called Vaidhi Bhakti. We perform them with a view to please the Lord. That's what we want. Then on the other side of the spiritual, of the material realm, the other side of the world, there, in their full absorption in Krishna, they're only doing those activities that please Krishna. And we see externally it works very nicely. In their spiritual form, in the spiritual realm, they're performing their spiritual activities. But there's a point where one crosses. And at that point, one is crossing and giving up attachment to material emotion and attachment to material sense enjoyment and becoming attached to spiritual emotion and spirit and the pleasure of Krishna's senses. So at that point, it changes. And at that point, it becomes very difficult sometimes to understand this and that. Therefore, we see that someone at that point, they are neither friendly to anybody nor inimical to anybody. Nothing is good, nothing is bad. It's neither. Because at that point, we're not dealing with rasa. Right? We're not dealing with rasa, the material world. Though we haven't situated ourselves in the spiritual rasa. So for the devotees, the non-devotees, they stop at that point. Because only by spiritual rasa can they go on. They've given up material rasa, they've gotten out of the material world. But they haven't accepted spiritual rasa, so they get stuck there. But if they accept spiritual rasa, or relationship with Krishna, the devotee just goes beyond that point, goes right straight into the Lord's pastime. But that point is very ununderstandable. Because here we see Apichet Sudara Charo. He's now, we've been dealing with this, okay, so this means a devotee who's not following properly this, that, okay. You know, I can accept that he's not following properly, so we kind of think he's a devotee, and when he gets it back together, yes, then he's situated. But Krishna doesn't mean that. He means, even he's out there in the ozone doing whatever you would, you know, want to put your fingers in your ears that they're doing, if they're thinking of Krishna, they're still saintly. And now, Prabhupada is taking this a step further and saying even the demons, because they're thinking of Krishna, they are going to attain perfection. Right? So this is a very amazing thing. But it's based on that attachment to thinking of Krishna. Means even this, we can't say, well, I'll just be a demon, right? Like that. But you have to be able to think of Krishna 24 hours a day. If you can do that, one can take the path. Though, but if you can do it, why bother taking it in this way? One can take it favorably. Then one doesn't have to go through being merged in Krishna's body for some time. One can just go straight into the Lord's pastimes. So here we have, so this is clearing all these doubts and all that so that we can actually appreciate the position of Prahlad Maharaj. He's preaching to his friends, you know, they're sons of demons, his father is dealing with him, all these others, you know, they're coming and poking and pinching and bringing all kinds of unfavorable situations. He's not disturbed in any of it. He's not seeing someone as his enemy because he's bothering him. He's not seeing someone as his friend because he's nice to him. It is, if they are interested in Krishna consciousness, they're favorable, they reciprocate on that rasa. And if they're not, they don't. There's no. So it comes to the point of being able to appreciate Krishna dealing with the living entity based on this platform of reciprocation according to how we deal with him. So the advanced devotees, they also deal in the same way. You're favorable to them, they'll deal favorably. You're not favorable, they'll just leave it. And if you're interested in devotional service, then they take a great interest like that. So they are also like the Lord, not attached to the material. They're not They're not biased towards anybody. They deal with those who deal with them. That's all. Any questions on this? Or? Yes.
Is being absorbed in service the same as thinking Krishna?
It is. Being absorbed in service is the preliminary stage of that. It's the same. So it's a matter of the service is going to be done. So that right there means one is a devotee, one is special. That is automatic. One is doing service, one is special. Now one advances, or one is considered more advanced, while doing that service, one is absorbed more and more in thinking of Krishna. Like that. But in the beginning, just that we've made that determination that I'm going to do this service to Krishna, even if during the service you don't even once think of Krishna, Krishna still accepts it because the whole service is what is being done for him. So out of a desire to please him, please Guru, please the Vaishnavas, one is doing an activity, that determination itself is accepted by Krishna's devotion. Though we see it is interrupted. Right? You thought before you started, or even you do it every day, maybe you thought months ago or years ago that you're doing it for Krishna. So you've done it, Krishna just accepts it, because Krishna is not bound by time. So even though you've been doing it for 10 years, haven't thought of Krishna once in that whole time, in the beginning you thought, I'm going to do this for Krishna. Right? So then Krishna is accepting it. But the problem is it's not the best platform because it's interrupted. So then pure devotional service, one symptom is uninterrupted. Uninterrupted, unalloyed. So it's always we're thinking of Krishna, and always there's no motive. So we may have motive. This is important, is that we may be doing a service, we're doing it for Krishna, we may be totally motivated. But because it's being done for Krishna, it is devotional service. But for us to advance, that motive needs to be reduced to the point of disappearing. But we have to be very, very careful in reducing that, reducing those motives that we don't stop the service. Because the service is what's important. Therefore, we see sometimes a situation where devotees are doing service, though it's not a very high caliber. They may not be chanting or doing other things. But Prabhupada would accept it. But he would point out when it was like a good time to deal with the person that it's not actually a proper platform. What's the use? Because you're doing it, but you're going to get stuck at this platform. So we want to go back to Godhead. And we're trying to do that in this lifetime. So therefore, if we really want to be dynamic, we have to give up these desires, these motives, these bad qualities, this and that. But we have to see that in doing that, we don't get rid of the service. That's the baby in bathwater. The bathwater may be dirty, but the baby, you know, by being in that water, you know, it's been, you know, it's clean. That's the thing, is the by that service, even though it's motivated, it's still purifying, because Krishna is the focus. But those who are in a position to help such a devotee give up or correct their motives or their bad qualities, that should be done. And that's a matter of compassion. At the same time is then there's the example given of don't disturb the minds of the ignorant. Because sometimes by saying something, they themselves may give up the service. They may be disturbed. So therefore, one has to be very expert in finding the right time, right place, and way to say something. And if one is very sincere oneself, he should be more open to direction and these kind of things. So you need both sides. For a relationship, there must be both. There must be someone who can lead, someone who can follow. That reciprocation takes place. So both have to be there. But we always have to see that the essence is remembering Krishna. Always remember Krishna, never forget. And then all the other rules are simply to support that. So you're remembering simply by the activity or the dress. If nothing more, it's just because we're dressed like devotees, occasionally we might remember about Krishna. So then it has benefit. So it will find that situation better than a situation where we're not dressed as devotees, because then there's a really good chance we may never remember Krishna. So here, now and again, we might remember him. So in this way, it's just anything that will help in that. So therefore, all the rules expand simply to encourage that remembrance. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes. Sharanga Thakur. Unfortunately, we were ignorant that it is his appearance day, and we're that. But that's not so unfortunate. Now we have heard from you. But what's more unfortunate is that we don't really know anything about it. Who is Sharanga Thakur? Oh, Mamgachi. You? No, that was Vasudeva Tata. Oh, he's the one who was the dead body? Okay. So he was a very humble devotee, and he lived under this tree. And then the tree died. And then, so then he's sitting under a dead tree. So dead trees don't give a whole lot of shelter. So then Lord Chaitanya then embraced this tree and brought it back to life, because it had the great fortune of association with Sharanga Thakur. Then he was very old, and Lord Chaitanya told him that, you know, he should take a disciple, and, you know, I think he had deities there, and the worship would go on, and all the different aspects. But he was not very willing. But Lord Chaitanya was kind of, you know, very impressing the point very strongly. So to please Lord, he said, okay, first person I see tomorrow, I will initiate them. So he went to take bath in the Ganga, and in the early morning, then this dead body came floating down the Ganga, and that bumped into him. So then he saw that it was a person. So then he went to initiate the person, and in the process, then they came back to life. And that, who was that? Murari Chaitanya. Yeah, so he was a very transcendental person also, like his Guru Maharaj. He used to live there in the forest. He was completely unafraid of anything. He'd go up and slap the tigers in the face and play with the snakes and all that, because he was totally fearless. Because everything deals with you according to how you deal with them. And there's rasa. How you deal, that's how they reciprocate. So he was totally unafraid of the tiger. And the tiger is something to play with, or the snake is something. So even the animals reciprocate according to that, like that. Sometimes I was seeing one article that just sometimes even animals play with each other. Sometimes species that you wouldn't expect. And this one time they were up north someplace, it might be Alaska or something, and somebody had his, you know, pet husky out in the backyard, and, you know, chained up so he wouldn't get away. And after the winter was just finishing, so the polar bears, they'd been like fasting for like, I don't know, 3-4 months, like that. So they're quite hungry. And, you know, they're hidden away somewhere. So the polar bear had come out, and the polar bear saw the dog. So then the owner of the dog thought, oh, well, here's breakfast for the polar bear. But the polar bear, somehow or another, from being, you know, cooped up for so long, came out. He was in a feisty mood. So he came up to the dog, and the two of them started playing and rolling on the ground and just doing this and that and having a good time. And then, you know, after some time, then the polar bear got up and walked off, and the dog was there. The dog was never scared like that, and the polar bear was never, you know, got hungry. They were just so depending upon that. So because he was totally fearless, he was like this shloka says, no material attachment, no fear, no anger. Therefore, he could do these things. So this was the very qualified disciple of Sharanga Thakur. So having heard from the devotees about these, this is all we have to say. Someone else has more to add? Then some more? So, yes.
He was a young boy, and the parents found out that he was alive again. They wanted him to come back home, but I don't know, she was good. Said, no, he's my disciple now. You know, he's left that body, and that was a relationship, and now he's
in this relationship. It means the, how you say, the parents had given him that birth, because that birth, he had died from that. Then Sranga Thakur had given him birth again. So now Sranga Thakur was his parents. Anything else for this? Gantara Srila Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki, Jaina Taitavara Taitavara ki.